in Jim's class, Come Let Us Reason, Argue with God. And this is a week where I'm going to be speaking from the book of Acts. And I usually like to start going to chapter 1 and doing all that stuff. And the Lord really put, kind of arrested me into a certain topic on Monday, actually. And sometimes it happens, and I kind of wanted to do it in a different way. I wanted to start Acts at the beginning. And so I kind of haggled with the Lord a little bit. And He just, speak on this. And so I'm going to be speaking on something that really, I feel like it's a word from the Lord to this house. I pray it is. Sometimes I feel like I'm up here and I have to speaking because I'm supposed to. Sometimes I feel like I'm up here because the Lord's put something really on my heart for us. And this is one of those times. And my prayer is I get it out in a good way. I think I will for what we need here at this time. But it's in Acts chapter 13. Real quick, I'm going to speak about the book of Acts. I'm going to do more of an overview. I don't quite know where it's going to go. But Acts is really, and Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Dr. Luke, if you read the Gospel of Luke, if you read Acts as well, it's an orderly account, and it shows us the early church wasn't perfect. You don't necessarily get doctrine from early church from the book of Acts. That's what the epistles and things like that are for. But it's a great picture of what the early church was designed to do. The Holy Spirit's mentioned about 50 times in there. The early church was completely dependent upon the Spirit of God. And I am going to have at some point a message. I remember when I first got here, I remember it was my first Sunday after my first Easter here. And Easter was a packed house, and then the next week we had like 10 people here. I was like, what in the world? And I spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Sunday. I might do it again. I actually probably am going to do it again. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, before I speak on that in the coming weeks, I want to ask you to do something. This is what my pastor did. When my pastor moved to where he planted the church I grew up in, he said he had a group, and most of them were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, not speaking in other tongues. And what he encouraged them to do, he says, you go home and you get with God, and it's a free gift, and you ask Him, and He'll fill you. He said, within a time span, about 40 folks said, you know, I was at home praying, and I'm speaking in tongues now. My brother had an experience like that as well. You know, frustrated praying. And I prayed for folks and that it happened, but there's also an element where you just get alone. My brother had that at a men's retreat at his church, and just on a bunk bed, just started praying in the Spirit, you know. And I want to encourage you, I believe most of us in here do, but if you don't, never pray in other tongues. Never had your prayer language. Go home and say, Father, it's a free gift. Lord, just give it to me and see what happens. But we're going to speak about a lot of different things. The Holy Spirit, visions, ministry of angels, missions, early church, church structure and things like that. But this week where I kind of want to go and where I feel my heart is, turn to Acts chapter 13 and we'll read verse 1 and 2. Acts 13 verse 1 and 2. Another little nugget while you turn there about the book of Acts. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about Acts 29. Well, Acts only has 28 chapters in it. And there's no amen to it. It's a continual story that we should be experiencing as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so what we see here, we should be living in to a greater extent, actually. So Acts chapter 13 says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Here's the main way I want to look at. As they ministered to the Lord, it's a key point, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul to the work which I had called them. As they minister to the Lord. A couple things, and the first thing I'm going to share is not necessarily my message so much, because the heart of what I want to share is ministry to the Lord, and what that is, and why it's a precedent. Let me open by saying this was the start, Acts 13, there's two main, different main churches. The first church we'll see in Acts is Jerusalem Church. Certainly weren't perfect. If it was up to those guys, you and I probably wouldn't be in the kingdom of God today, or because they were very much you know, Jew and Gentile, we see that in Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. That was a more ingrown church. And what happens is they got persecuted. And so as they persecuted, they scattered. And they went to the Antioch. And Antioch was a sending church, which in my heart is what God's called the church to be. Not so much a place of just gathering, but the church is a place of sending, right? Ultimately, I'm going to share more about this later. I don't know that I'm supposed to so much this morning, as much as I would like to. Sometimes we get our things, our ideals backward. All of us in the body of Christ are ministers, okay? We're all priests to God, we're all priests to men, and all of us have a ministry, all of us have a gift. And so the whole heart and purpose, and we see this in Antioch, and this is not my full message. The purpose in the heart was they, as they ministered to the Lord first, the Holy Spirit spoke to the leadership there, they laid hands on them, and they released them, and they sent them out, okay, to the assignment and to the places where the God's called them to go and where God's called them to be. A couple quick little points I want to say. This is just kind of an intro to what I really want to say, but let me say something. Paul and Barnabas were sent out. They said there's prophets and teachers in the church there. The church was gathered corporately, and they honored and acknowledged the call of God in their life. Let me say this. If there's a call of God in your life in any capacity or a gifting, I want to encourage you in a couple ways. One, most times, more often than not, that's going to be confirmed by leadership that God's put in place. And that happened with me in my life. I remember I told my pastor years ago, I was so nervous, I was afraid. I went to him, I said, Pastor Nelson, I feel like I'm called to ministry. And I was afraid he was going to say, he said, yeah, I've known that for a while, I just wasn't going to tell you, I was going to wait till you came to me. Now, oftentimes there's a confirming thing, but let me say this. Always guard yourself against... sometimes we can have, I've seen people get hurt in church a lot because this person didn't recognize my gift, they didn't recognize my calling. Well, guess what? I've been in that situation myself too. And it's always important that you keep the Lord's heart, because at the end of the day, I always say this, God is my superintendent. Okay? I have men over me that I honor because I honor God. But the Lord gives promotions, and as long as you keep your heart pure before Him, if you look at David, David was anointed for the throne, and Saul was throwing spears at him. And what did David do? He kept serving. Do not touch the Lord's anointed. And the Lord put him in place because it was the Lord who did it, not man. So I felt to do that. I felt to share that for some strange reason. It's important that you have leadership. If you feel there's a call, I had someone, it's no one in here, so don't get your wheel spinning. Someone came to me not long ago and said, I feel called to this certain thing. And I was like, I don't really know that you are. And I said, I just kind of encouraged them in their own little way. But usually someone that the Lord's put in your life will acknowledge that. Usually prophetic words are that. It's a confirmation of what you already sense and what you feel. And someone puts that on your life. But that's what the early church did. They laid hands on, they acknowledged a gift, and they sent out. This, in Acts chapter 13, was the start of the missionary movement in the church, right? And let me say this as well. As far as missions goes, Phil's in Peru, right? But missions isn't just going overseas. It is that, but it's not just that, right? There's missionary work in your job. There's missionary work. And I'm not just saying this to be flighty. Everywhere I go intentional. I'm a missionary. I'm sent out. And imagine if we had in church, just me thinking out loud, what if we recognized even that in business, that business people were missionaries? And I had business folks, and they brought some in. Said, we're going to train you how to have a kingdom business, how to operate in kingdom ways in your business. And you recognize that, hey, this is a ministry. It's not necessarily the church. We might come to church. We might minister to the Lord together as a whole. But at the end of the day, we're training and we're equipping you to go out and take what God's put within you into your place of business, into your family, into any aspect of life that you may see. Amen? Amen. What if we thought a church like that? A place where you come and you equip. Church is not just a place where you come just because. I like what John Wimber said. John Wimber said, I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I'm part of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And Pastor Steve was, I don't know if he mentioned some of this last week. I belong to the body of Christ. It's not just a place where I come for fellowship. That's certainly a part of it. Church as a whole is I'm coming together. What happened here in Acts 13 to start the missionary movement? The church was gathered. They recognized a certain grace on someone's life. And as they ministered to the Lord acknowledged it and the people were sent out. You see that pattern? And so God starts a pattern here in the early church. They met together. They honored something in someone. I could go through each and every person in here. I really honestly can and say, I see this gift in you. This is in you. This is in you. I can do it across the board. I really can because there's so much within each and every one of us. And I look at that and say, hey, as we minister to the Lord and put our priorities straight, you're sent out. Amen?
Amen.
That's not really what my message is, but that's a part of it. Before I transition, let me say this. One thing, if you heard of China, they have a state church, but they have underground churches. And I'm sure we've all heard about that. And what they actually do, which is interesting, they'll take a house church, and the government says, once you get to 25 people, you can grow no more than 25 people. At that point, you got to break off. What's happening to the church there? Growing like weed, like wildfire. Amen? What's the whole heart of that? Their mindset, because they have to be that way, it's different. We've got 25 people, okay? Come, we minister to the Lord, but we're also training people. And they go and they start, and then they start, and they start. It's a multiplication, right? Amen? It's not just, let's see how many people we can fit in. It's because of the necessity, they break off, and they break off. Amen? So I want to speak some about ministry to the Lord, because that's the first thing they did here. C.S. Lewis had a quote, and he says, you can't get second things by putting them first. You get second things by putting first things first. Put first things first, and the second things are thrown in. I'll repeat it, because it's kind of C.S. Lewis. You can't get second... Now, what does the Lord say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Mm-hmm. You can't get second things by putting them first. You get second things by putting first things first. Put first things first, and the second things are thrown in. Okay? Ministry to God was a precedent that they set. Going and seeking God. And as that happened, the Holy Spirit recorded for all of us to see that within the context of a corporate body meeting and ministering and worshiping God, people were sent out to blaze a trail. Well, as they say in Thessalonica, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Where did that start? Where was Paul initially sent from? There in Antioch, right? In the context, do you see that context? What should our priority be? As I minister to him, and I'm going to talk what ministry to God is, but as I minister to him, something happens and we begin to be sent to function, fit, and flourish in every aspect of society we're called to. Amen? Okay? A couple of things. You can turn to this one. I want you to turn. The main passage is Psalms 145. I am going to read a passage in Ezekiel as well. And it's Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 11 through 16. Ezekiel 44, 11 through 16. And this was Ezekiel talking about the duties of the temple priest. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 11 through 16. And what he's referring, there's actually three companies. I'm going to look at two. There's basically two different groups here. There's the Levites who went astray, and there's the priests of Zadok, the Zadok priesthood who got to minister to the Lord. Okay? And if you stay with me, we'll see why it's important. Verse 10, it says, and the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me with their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Let me just stop right here. The purpose that what they were called to do, because they strayed from the Lord, they were called to minister to the people, not to the Lord. They ministered to the people. Okay? And verse 13 says, "They shall not come near me to minister meat to me as a priest, nor come near my holy things, nor into my most holy place." Verse 15, it says, "But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me." See that ministry to God again, ministry to the Lord? "They shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. And they shall come near, enter my sanctuary, they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep charge." If you remember who Zadok was, Zadok was a priest, basically, who stayed with David until the very end. He was the only one. It was Zadok and the guy Abiathar. Remember when Absalom, they stayed with David when Absalom revolted. But when he was going to set, when David was getting ready to pass off the scene, he was going to turn the reins over to Solomon, and there was another revolt. The only one who stayed with David at that time was Zadok. First of all, have you ever felt like sometimes you're the only one? And like, Lord, I'm the only one. But there's something about him that stayed and that had a heart for the Lord no matter what was going on. Amen. As far as ministry to the Lord goes, turn with me to Psalms chapter 145. And I'm going to look at some specific points and specific things. So as the body of Christ, I can either choose just to minister to those out here, or I can choose to minister to the Lord as my priority. At the end, as I minister to the Lord, I also get to minister to man. But one of the greatest chapters we can find that kind of gives some different points that I'm going to talk about is Psalms 145. Do you know part of my identity as a believer is that as a priest of God? What did priests do? One thing that priests would do in the Old Covenant, he would even say that they would minister, Aaron would come, he said, they would come and minister to me. They would worship the Lord. They would do the sacrifices. They would even do menial tasks around. But your job as a priest, your identity as a priest of God, is to minister to the Lord. Remember, we just went through the tabernacle of Moses. They would take the incense. They would take these different things, and they would come before the Lord. Part of my identity as a believer is ministry to the Lord. In the original language, minister means to serve, to wait, to attend upon. Now, we're going to look at Psalms chapter 145 because I think it's probably the best example of some things I want to talk about. Psalms 145. It says, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever." Let me stop right here and say this about it. If you read the whole psalm, it's a beautiful psalm. "I will extol you, O Lord," and it talks about the name. I believe this verse. "I will bless your name forever." What is the name? When you read scriptures and you see names, it always speaks of the nature of someone, right? When I say, "Lord, I bless your name," what am I doing? I'm worshiping him for who he is, right? Amen. Lord, this is who you are. It's ministry to God. One of my favorite hymns, my favorite songs actually, is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And we know it, we sing it sometimes. And why is that for me? Because that is real to me. It's actually rare I can get through that without not being able to finish it because my eyes are covered in tears. Why? It's because my experience with God says he's faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I've needed your hand is provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I can sing that and I say, God, who your nature is, you're faithful. Ministry to God, what am I doing? I'm taking a song. I'm extolling the Lord. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, I bless your name for who you are. You're faithful. You're good. Is there an area? Some of you, I had another song. It was Friday. It was Friday evening. And it's another kind of oldie. It's "In the Presence of Jehovah." Some of us know that. And it's been years, and it just came to my heart. And I found it on YouTube. And oh my goodness, it had such meaning. "In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended." And I just get alone with God with no intention of anything other than say, Lord, you're faithful. I extol your name, your nature of who you are. What am I doing? Ministering to God. When we're here in worship, let me say something about worship real quick. It's a wonderful opportunity to come in and minister to him and Is he worthy of praise?
Yes.
When I was in Bible school, I'll tell you, this is what the president would always tell us as students. And where I went to Bible school, it was literally in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing around, man. And he would say, if you come to this place to sit around and just play video games at night, he said, you're the biggest idiot of all. And he was right. Why waste my time? If you come in here and we're singing about God's faithful, his love to me, whatever, take that opportunity and say, Lord, yes, you're faithful. It's who you are. What are we doing? I'm in a corporate atmosphere, just like Acts 13, in the church. And what am I doing? I'm ministering to God. Lord, your name is faithful. It's your character. You're faithful. I love you. I want to encourage you, don't waste opportunities like that. Okay?
Amen.
Do not waste. I say this with sincerity and seriousness. Don't waste those opportunities. When you come before God, Lord, you're faithful and you're good. Amen?
Amen.
It says, in verse 2, it says, how often? Verse 1 says how we do it. Verse 2, it says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Every day. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. Very simple principle, very simple thing. Have a time each day. Now you can call it your date with God. Okay? I have 2 set apart times each day. Sometimes I have other conflicts that stop me, but if conflict stops me from one, I get to the first one at least. And it's my time and my date with God. It's in your prayer closet. Jim was talking about that some this morning. And I get there and it's like, God, this is my appointment with you to just minister to you. Amen? Sometimes if you don't know what to do, another principle, I say, Lord, I present myself to you. Lord, I just come before you. I give myself to you. Romans 12:1, what's it say? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because this is your reasonable service or worship. You know, when you come before God, you don't even have words. I don't have words. I don't have anything to say, but I'm going to come here before you. And my reasonable worship, I'm just going to present myself to you. Lord, I love you. You're here. We're here. And it's your date with God. That's ministry to God. Something happens in those moments. Jim, you mentioned some of this in your class, some this morning as well. No time with God is wasted time. And sometimes when you're in those moments like that, some of the greatest battles that have been won with me and the Lord have been in those moments where seemingly nothing happens, nothing's going on, but I'm sitting with the Lord, I'm presenting myself, and I'm ministering to God. Sometimes He speaks to me so clearly in those moments. And what if I wasted that and I didn't do it? It's ministry to God. Again, Acts 13, the context for the missions movement of the church. Context of going was first they ministered to God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And verse 3, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It's unsearchable. We'll spend ages upon ages upon ages. I'm someone who believes that in heaven we're going to be learning more about God, worshiping more. Lord, you are, wow, you're even better than we thought. You're better than, we should always be constantly growing and maturing and pressing on. I should be in a place this year that I wasn't in last year. Lord, you're unsearchable. There should be a hunger within us, Lord, for more of you, for more of you. It says, one generation shall praise your work to another and declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, it says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. You remember when I spoke about meditating on the Lord a few months back and how the scriptures, there's so much about meditating on the Lord, on His person, on the Word of God. And as a church, we've given that to the New Age gurus with the bugs in their beards, but it's something that the Lord's told us to do. I meditate, Lord, I come before your word, and I said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I just think, they shall lay hands on the sick. I meditate. Remember I shared the story, I think it was Malcolm Smith went to Bible school, and he literally memorized the whole Bible. And someone said, Malcolm, there's no life in this. You memorized everything, but there's nothing to it. And he says, Lord, what can I do? And the Lord told him to go to a farm, and there was a cow there. And he said, watch the cow. And the cow would chew, and he would chew and chew, go down. I learned later that cows have 7 processes in their stomach where what they eat goes through. And it would come back up and they would chew and they would chew. What if we did that to the Word of God and engage our hearts in the Word of God? Lord, you're faithful. Lord, your Word says that when I am weak, you're strong. I'm feeling pretty weak right now. But Lord, your Word says that when I'm weak, I'm strong because of you. And you just meditate on that. Lord, I feel lonely right now. Lord, your Word says I will never leave nor forsake. Come here. God, I feel lonely. But your Word says you'll never leave. You'll never forsake me. What happens? As I meditate on the Lord, on His goodness, that's a form of ministering to Him. Why? Lord, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is what your Word declares. This is what you've done. That's an attitude of meditating and worshiping and ministering to God. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord tells us to renew our minds. The renewal of your mind, not the removal. Okay? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Meditation isn't removing your mind from everything. Meditation is sometimes it's engaging. Lord, your Word says this. When Steve was here last week, he talked about reading and studying. Okay? I read and I chew. Lord, what does this mean? Lord, original meditation, what does it mean? What does it mean? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? It's giving the Lord the honor and attention that He's worthy and due of. Amen?
Amen.
Couple other things, and I'm going to wrap up for you. It also says, they shall utter the memory of your great goodness. What do we do sometimes when we come in here and people share testimonies of what the Lord's done? What is that? Lord, it's a memory of what you've done. Lord, we give you honor and give you praise. I was remembering when I was in high school, I could tend to be a reckless driver. I only got one wreck, thank you, Jesus. And so my parents were gracious. But I could tend to be reckless, and I will never forget one day, I was hightailing it had been raining, and I still remember where I was, and next thing I know, oh no, there's a car, the roads are wet, slammed on brakes, and hydroplaned. Couldn't control the car. Oh no, what am I going to do? I'll never forget it, because the hand of God saved my life that day. There was a Jiffy Lube right there. I couldn't do anything. My car literally just pulled right in the Jiffy Lube, right in the parking lot. Right there, where no car was. And I got there in high school, I was like, oh, Lord, you just saved me. I remember that and meditate, Lord, your hand of protection has been upon me. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, thank you for what you did. You say, all of us, the fact that everyone here is just in here today means you have something to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. There's something in your life you can remember, you know. I can remember that time when I should have been dead. I can remember that time when I was as far from God, when this happened, when that happened, when I was in depression, when I was sinking here, when I was sinking there. Even if you're feeling like that, you're here today. You have something to say, Lord, I'm a minister to you and thank you and declare who you are. Amen? A couple other points. In Joel 2:7, it talks about ministry of the Lord. It says, let the priest who, you don't have to turn there, let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. There's an element where intercession can be ministry to God. And I don't know if you ever had this happen. It talks about weeping. When I was in Bible school, it was a highly charged prophetic atmosphere with intercession as well. So one thing that happened, I would find myself getting weepy. And I remember I didn't know what it was, and I went and asked one of my prayer teacher. I said, Wendy, what does this mean? And you know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, right? If that's ever happened to you, the gift of tears, whether it has or hasn't, there's an element where we come to a place in our walk with God where, and this can come from just being with Him, where His heart I feel His heart, basically. Yeah. I feel what's going on. The Lord says, you know what? James, you know, Michael, on my heart, he just puts a burden on James, and there's something, whether he intercedes with tears, or whether he has another way that God works in his heart and his life, because we're all wired differently, right? And the Lord puts something there, and that's ministry to God, because what am I doing? I'm going before Him, Lord, standing in the gap as an intercessor, and His heartbeat is coming through mine, I'm weeping, and I'm pouring out before the Lord. You know, in atmospheres like that, when the Spirit of God is, where the Lord is moving, sometimes that will happen. It it's happened. It happens to me. Sometimes I don't like it when it happens to me. Because I can be a messy, and I like to just get away from everyone. But I can be an atmosphere where we're ministering to God, we're worshiping, we're praising the Lord. And what happens? The Lord puts His burdens on my heart, and I intercede, right?
Amen.
Ministry to God. We have worship nights. What are we doing? It's ministry to God. When we have prayer, and we start prayer, and Sharon has worship, it's not just to sing a few little songs. It's ministering to the Lord, right? That's part of it. Lord, You're great. You're good. Sometimes when that happens, it can flow easier, because what happens, it says, we see in the early church, as they minister to the Lord, it says, the Holy Spirit said. You catch that? As I'm ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work I prepared for them. Last thing, Saul or Samuel. It said Samuel. Remember the story of Samuel when Hannah presented him, and he went and he ministered before the Lord, before Eli. Samuel was before a priest, Eli, who really was far from God, but he still honored him. Samuel ministered before the Lord. One thing that priests would do, it wasn't all glamorous. They had a lot of very base, menial tasks. Trimming the wicks, the ashes, cleaning, things like that. Samuel would start as a young boy. How did he actually minister before the Lord? One way he had to minister before the Lord, before Eli as a child, was doing very menial tasks, right? Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord and not unto man, right?
Amen.
There's times, to be honest with you, and the Lord has to check my heart, there's times, there's tasks, even around this church, that I can cop an attitude with God about having to do. Maybe it's just me. I'll be honest with you. There's times at home, I don't want to do certain things. But what happens? If I do it, Lord, I don't want to clean up that milk my son spilled this morning. But if I recognize that, hey, as I do this, this is a ministry to the Lord. Lord, I'm honoring You. Why? Because I'm doing it unto the Lord, right? Not just unto man. I'm not doing it because this person is. I'm doing it as a service, as an act of worship before the Lord. Amen? What did Samuel, I want to say this, what happened with Samuel? Because he served faithfully in those years. It says later in Samuel, as he began his ministry, he said, the Lord let not one of His words fall to the ground. And he was acknowledged throughout Israel as being a prophet of the Lord. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful, say Brad, in much. He was faithful in little, is faithful in much. And if I can do these little things like that, and I can do it with an attitude and a spirit, then one thing I find the Lord teaches me, that sometimes He'll make you keep doing those things until you can do it joyfully. I don't like washing dishes for my wife at home. Well, you'll do it joyfully. There was a story that Walter Butler shared. Walter Butler was a German minister. I share about him often. He was in Bible school in the 30s. And he said back at that time, it wasn't known that men would take an order from a woman. And they gave him an assignment and went to Bible school, washed the dishes. And he said, this is how Pentecostal people are. I want nothing of it. I'm not going to wash dishes. I'm German. I don't take an order from a woman. And he left. And he said on his way out, he said, I thought I would have, I was a sentimentalist, so I went to a Pentecostal church and they had a service and someone gave a message in tongues, rebellious man, rebellious man. And it was for him. He went back to the school. And he said, I don't know what happened. The lady never, did anything. But what she told him before he left, she said, Walter, you're going to wash dishes until you love it. And he left. And he came back. And he said, I came back with a different heart, different spirit. The Lord had rebuked him. He went back to the Bible school, washed dishes. He said, I got to the point. I loved washing dishes. And they moved me to a different assignment. Sometimes if you have trouble with something, you're going to keep climbing that mountain. So you can do it with joy. And so sometimes it's good to say, Lord, give me joy in this. And then you'll graduate to something else. Amen. I'm going to wrap up with a couple quick points. Reality is this. Sometimes it's easy to get up here and say, I'm going to minister the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's to praise, to worship God, to intercede, to serve, and you say, you know what, I don't feel like doing it. And guess what? I don't always either. I have moments in my life of dullness. And I have to sign back up. Lord, I feel dull today. There's times in my life I felt like I was going to run through a troop and leap over a wall, it says in Psalm. I was just on fire. And there's times all I've wanted to do is just someone give me $1 million and put me in the Caribbean somewhere on a cruise ship and leave me alone. Just leave me there. I'll forget about God and everything. Let me say, if that happens to you, welcome to the club. Because something that's important in our walks with God, in our lives with God, if I'm going to take seriously the command in the heart to start something, it's ministry to God, and recognize God can send me as I minister to Him, and as I minister to Him, you have to recognize that there's times of dullness that you'll face. And in those moments, it's important that I have enough of a heart to recognize, Lord, I feel dull right now. I don't want to do this right now. I don't feel vigor. Lord, sign me back up. Go to God. One prayer I pray, I've shared this here before. It works. I heard my pastor share it one time. Lord, help me to love You more. You know, there's times I feel like I don't, Lord, I just don't want anything to do with anything. I'm talking about recent even with me. I'm just being real with You. Lord, help me to love You. Lord, I feel weary. Lord, help me love You. Lord, put a fire in my heart. I've seen that song, set a fire down in my soul. Lord, put something within me. There's a prayer in Song of Solomon. Lord, draw me. Lord, I feel so far from You right now. I don't want anything to do. But Lord, just draw me to Yourself, Lord. In moments when I don't want to, draw me. That's reality. And I'm sharing this because sometimes I can say some of these things and say, you know, I don't want to put in guilt. Like, well, I never feel that way. Well, if you don't, welcome to the club. Sometimes I don't either. But Lord, draw me. Anyone can go aside for, Lord, 5 minutes today, and I'm going to minister to You. I can go back to the memory part. Lord, I remember 20 years ago when You did this for me. Thank You for doing it for me. Thank You. I read a passage in the Scriptures. Oh, this, I remember this verse really was a source of strength for me in this bad time in my life. Thank You, Lord. Lord, it says, all Your work shall praise You. Your name is gracious and compassionate. Lord, You're good, You're good. And we do that. Amen? And I'm going to wrap up with this. One of the things that the Zadok priesthood were able to do, they didn't just minister to the Lord, they also ministered to man. And they shall teach My people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. As you minister to God, and as you put, as C.S. Lewis quote went, you put first things first, guess what happens? Your ministry with everyone out there will skyrocket. Trust me. I can accomplish a lot more by when He's not first. Watchman Nee said, when the ministry to God is not the thing that governs it, the work will be in confusion. When the ministry to God is not what governs it, the work will be in confusion. His spiritual mother, Margaret Barber, I found this. He says, whoever cannot stop working for the sake of God cannot work for the sake of God. If I can't come before the Lord in the atmosphere of ministering to Him first and foremost, my effectiveness out there is going to be limited. Amen? Okay? Closing this up. Someone told me recently, and I'm closing with this, I promise. Someone implied to me recently, there was no one here, and you don't know who this is, that a good way to do things in ministry is, they gave me a book, maybe I shouldn't share it, but I will. And it was basically how to get people to come in the doors. The church was this thing, and they played Beatles music and all these different things. And it was the whole atmosphere, and the whole point of it was just, my job is just to please and make things as possible, make you happy by playing Strawberry Fields Forever in the church. Not my heart. And I remember there's a story, and I shared it before, but the girl I remember in Columbine, I don't remember her name, but she was into the occult and the drugs and all these different things. And she went, her parents made her go to a youth conference. And she went to mock the kids and to get high. And she took her pills, and she was going to go have a party, basically. And she went in there, and because there's such an atmosphere where people were worshiping and ministering to God, she was overwhelmed by it. She gave her heart to Jesus. not because they were singing Beatles songs and having a great play, but because people were, their priority was ministering to God. She was overwhelmed by the love these people had for God. She gave her heart to Jesus. She went home, became a leader in her church, in the youth group. She would wear the WWJD's bracelets to give her testimony and her witness. And as she went, she wrote in her journal about a month before that, she said, I know my life's going to end before it has a chance to begin because I've been appointed to be a martyr for Christ. But a month later, the guy asked her, do you believe in Christ? Put a bullet through her head. That's her story. Why did she ever get to that point? Because she went through an atmosphere into a place where the first objective, as we see in Acts, was ministry to God. Whether they were reading a passage of Scripture that meant something, sharing a testimony of what God did, whether they were recording, Lord, your name is that you're faithful. You're faithful. And you can be overcome by that. The Lord speaks. I met a girl here. She lives in Boston now. She told me, she said, I was an atheist. And I think she still lives in Boston. And she went to a service and she said, I went in there and there is such an atmosphere of the presence of God. There is such a worshipful flow. She said, something happened to me. I just gave my heart to Jesus and she's been going strong ever since. Ministry to God equals sent out ministry to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Not one or the other. It's both. But my priority has to be right. John Piper actually said the primary goal of the churches and missions is worship, because through that, missions is birthed. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, that it sits in our hearts. Lord, for your imparted word this morning. Lord, give us hearts, Lord, that we can be ministers of you. Lord, encourage those of us, Father, in moments where we feel dull and we don't feel anything. Lord, that you stir us, Father. Lord, that you would meet us, God, when we come apart for our dates with God. Lord, that you're there. Lord, bring to remembrance. Lord, I asked this morning, even just as I remember that incident in the car just yesterday, I put it out of my mind. Lord, if there's instances in our life, Lord, yes, I remember you did that for me. Lord, I praise you for that. I honor you for that. Lord, I'm just going to minister to you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to honor you, Lord, because you're great, Lord. You're eternal. You're the King of Kings. Lord, make us ministers of you. Lord, because as this church becomes more effective ministers of you, we're more effective ministers out there. I thank you for that principle and for that truth. Jesus, I love you. I honor you. I praise you. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.